And I watch the news, and I hear something on the news much more often than what I'm used to hearing. The phrase is, the images we're about to show you may be disturbing to some viewers. You know, it was always said in the past. You know, you heard this on the news occasionally. Okay. Normally, you know, in normal times, like, you know, just a few years ago, it seems, it was inner city violence that they said it about. Well, then we got to the war of Ukraine and Russia. These images we're about to show you might be disturbing. And they were. But they were showable. Now we get to Hamas and Israel. Not only could they be disturbing, they are disturbing. And, you know, it comes down to we may not want to see them. But as a society, maybe we really do need to see them, right? So the issue is a hard one for networks. They have to navigate this. Do they make a decision to show the truth and, you know, maybe agitate people? Do they hold it back so they don't agitate people? Or do they show the realities? And now things have gotten so bad with the news footage of in Israel and Hamas, they don't even want to show us what they have on film. And I'm sure that it's really disturbing, but now they have to make the decision. Do we try to edit it? Do we try to show it? Do we not show it and just say how bad it is and hope people believe us that it's that bad? Or are they just going to think we're lying to them and it's not really that bad? Well, it really is that bad. It really is. And this is a really hard question that sometimes we all face, right? Do we tell people the truth that may hurt them? Or do we soften the news? So they get at least a little bit of the truth, but not so much that they're turned off by it and they'll never listen again. Sometimes this is the question that rabbis and congregational teachers have to ask as well. Do we tell the full truth that the world doesn't want to hear? Or do we soften it so they at least get a little piece of the message of Messiah? Everyone wants to hear about the love of Adonai, but not everyone wants to hear everything that has to do with it. They love to hear that Adonai wants to be close to them. They love it. You know, they may not even mind to hear sin's an issue in everyone's life. But what they don't want to hear are the results of an unrepentant sin. They don't want to hear the result and that unpaid sin and that eternal effect that it's going to have on people and specifically upon them. But there are times that we have to speak the harder truth. Not to scare, not to drive them off, obviously, but to ensure that everyone knows the full truth and not just a partial truth. Because the whole truth is that Adonai does love everyone and does not desire to see any lost for all eternity. But also there are consequences to that unpaid sin that's in everybody's life at one time or another. And those consequences are disturbing. It's at the end of our lives, though, that these consequences and the price for sin actually get paid. Some think that the price of sin is paid now because of the consequences that we face during this life while we're alive. And there are those consequences for the mistakes, the sins that we make in our lives. But that final price, that's really paid after we've taken our last breath. You know, perhaps if those disturbing images of that cost of sin, if we could see those now, people would change their mind about it. Yeah, I saw a Pew Research poll about how many people believe in heaven and how many people believe in hell. Did you know that in the United States, when it comes to believing in heaven, only 73% of the people in the United States believe there's a heaven? 73%. Only about less than 3/4 of the people. But when it comes to hell, only 62% would come to that faith, that belief. The poll is broken down for numbers of believers, or what the poll actually called Christians. I couldn't find a poll for Jewish people, but I'm sure it's lower. So for believers, Christians, the percentage of believers in Messiah who believe in heaven is 92%. I don't know what the other 8% are thinking, but 92%, you know, that's a good high number. But those who believe in hell, well, that percentage of believers is only 79%. It shows that it's much easier for people to believe in the good and the easy than it is to believe in the difficult. This is the uncomfortable conversation that we have to have at times. This is the part where we run that disclaimer from the TV news. The truth that you're about to be told may be disturbing to some. The disturbing truth is not that there's a very real heaven that we should be looking forward to. But there's a very real hell that many are heading towards based on their beliefs and based on their actions in this life. And there are reasons that people don't want to believe in hell. They're scared of what it could mean for them in their personal eternity. They don't believe that a loving God would either force or allow others to go into hell for all eternity. Or they think that a loving God would not punish for all time. Or they say the punishment doesn't fit the crime or the sin, especially when you take into consideration that it's for all eternity. For those who choose not to believe in hell, you know, there's very little that we could do or say to convince them. Just as there's really very little we could do or say to convince people about salvation. All we can do is tell them the truth and hope and pray that the Ruach will soften their hearts, clarify their minds, so that they'll see the truth. Talking until we're blue in the face will not do it. But we're always supposed to be sowing out the seed, because we never know when the Ruach will move on their heart. It could be while you're the one in front of them. So you always have to be ready with that answer. Now, regarding hell, we can only give them that truth. And even when we do, there will be those who try to warp the message that we give them, the truth that we're speaking. For example, the world wants to believe that Adonai punishes those who sin or do not believe that Yeshua is the Savior and God. That's not the case, though, is it? Adonai does not punish, but what he desires is to save those who are heading to hell. John 3:14 tells us just that. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believed in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The one who believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has been condemned already, because he has not put his trust in the name of the one and only Ben Elohim. Has not put the name trust in the name of the Son of God. Scripture shows us that we are the ones who make the choice. Each of us in the world are the ones who make the choice. Yeshua says that sinners are condemned, but he didn't say he was the one who was condemning them. In fact, he says that he is the one that would pay the price for your sins so that you would not be condemned. That's the choice each of us make. It'd be like saying to someone that the fire in a fireplace will burn you if you put your hand into the fireplace. Now we could take hold of their arm and pull them back so they don't put their arm in the fireplace while you're there. And you would temporarily keep them from being burnt. But you know what's going to happen if you force them? The minute you're gone, they're going to put their hand into the fireplace. We see this with children, right? Don't touch the stove is the classic one. Yeshua is doing the same thing for us. He's not going to grab the individual, though, by his spirit or his soul and drag them from the fire that awakes the sinner. But he will tell each of us what to do to keep from going to hell. In fact, we're told that he came for that very reason, to save everyone from hell. We love to say that Yeshua saves, but we don't really like to say what we're saving him from. You know, it's a hard conversation. It's the fire that he wants to save them from. It's that eternity. And he does it by giving everyone a choice, not by pulling them back himself without their permission. Messiah Yeshua lays out the gift of salvation, which is given by grace to all who believe the good news spoken about in the scripture, going back all the way to the Tanakh, the Old Covenant. In the Tanakh, it even goes back to the foundation, which is Torah, or the instructions of God. We see that there was always a cost for sin, and that cost was death. The idea of the sacrifice in the Old Covenant was that the death and the blood of the sacrifice paid for the price of the sin. I know there are some who will say they don't like the idea of the blood paying the price. But really, that's kind of what it is. Instead of a person or the persons dying for the sins that they committed, the animal would die. Atonement was and still is in the blood. We're told that in Leviticus 17:11. This verse can't be said enough. For the life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your lives. For it is the blood that makes atonement because of the life. The blood was the bulls and rams and goats, but only when presented in the temple. You couldn't do the sacrifice out in the field wherever you wanted. He said, only in the temple. The earthly temple that stood in Jerusalem was a representation of the temple that's in heaven. Now it's the blood of Messiah Yeshua who sits in that temple and above that temple in heaven. So we're not condemned to hell. But each person has to make the decision to believe, as we're told in Romans 1:16, starting there. For I am not ashamed of the good news. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Those are important words, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, because in the world there are only two types of people, Jews and Greeks. Right? Everyone wants to break everyone down further and further and further. But in God's eyes, there are only two, Jews and Gentiles, Jews and Greeks. So he's there. He's created salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For I am not ashamed of the good news. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who trusts, to the Jew and also to the Greek. In it, the righteousness of God is revealed from trust to trust. As it is written, but the righteous shall live by emunah. Well, the righteous will live by faith. Faith is the choice to believe what Scripture says to us. It is the choice to believe what Adonai says to us through the Scriptures, whether it be the Torah, the prophets, the writings, or the Brit HaKadoshah, the New Covenant. By the initial belief in Yeshua as the Messiah, we are cleansed by his blood and by his death, which is the cost of sin that was paid by him for us. This is called justification. Justification of our lives and sin. He paid the price so that we are not condemned to hell. Then it's up to us to walk out our lives by the instructions of Scripture so that we don't willfully sin again, which is the act of sanctification in our lives. Baruch Hashem, bless his name, that by it is by grace that we are allowed to continue to live eternally in his presence by his blood, even though we sin, hopefully unintentionally, because that intentional sin isn't covered by blood. Now, there are many who will say that the price of sin seems unrealistic to them. They believe that there's a balance that's taught in our world and that the punishment should fit the crime. Therefore, they don't believe that the idea of everlasting punishment in hell is right. What they're doing is they're drawing on their own beliefs rather than the truth from the maker of heaven and earth. They're creating their own rules rather than learning from our Creator who created all things. This makes life a very dangerous game. They say, I'm not going to an eternal hell because that would be unfair and unfitting of a loving God. We've all heard that. If there's a loving God, why would he send people to an eternal hell? But we don't get to make the rules. We don't get to make the rules any more than we can create life itself. Yeshua wants us to be aware of the rules and what will happen at the end. He taught of the final judgment and the separation of the righteous and unrighteous in a couple of places in Scripture. In fact, I read this week, and I didn't realize it, he speaks more words about hell than he does about heaven. That must show some importance there. Now in Matthew 13, Yeshua tells us not just what the world is like, but what the times to come will be like. He told the parable of the sower. He tells that a person sowed good seed into the field, but then weeds came up from them. When the disciples came to him and asked him to explain it, this is what we read. in Matthew 13, starting in verse 37. He answered, "The one sowing the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. And the good seed, those are the sons of the kingdom, and the weeds are the son of the evil one. The enemy may sow them, the enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are angels. Therefore, just as the weeds are gathered up and burnt with fire, so shall it be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send forth his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all stumbling blocks and those who practice lawlessness. They will throw them into the fiery furnace. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears, let him hear." Yeshua tells us in numerous places that what hell will be like. Now, does he ever call the place hell? No, he never uses the word. But we have to be a little discerning of what's going on and what the words that he speaks are. Here we see those who sin will be thrown into a fiery furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's just that kind of description that should be enough to show us the type of place that hell is. Weeping, crying, gnashing of teeth in pain and in agony. But he also says in Matthew 8, when speaking of the evil kingdom, he says this: "But the sons of the kingdom will be driven out into the outer darkness. In that place will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Again, weeping and gnashing of teeth. This time is described as a place of darkness, meaning a place where Adonai will not be, because he is going to be the eternal light. Because he does not mention fire, does not make it a contradiction to previous places that he spoke about. It just adds more information about the same place. The world would say about that place that it's a place where the devil or Satan rules and reigns. You know, they want to see the horns and the tail. And they say, he's the one in charge there. Well, that's not true. Satan is not a ruler of anything. But he has to deal with the same rules as you and I when it comes to being in hell. We can understand this when Yeshua teaches about hell. Matthew 25:41, Yeshua says, "Then he will also say to those on the left, 'Go away from me, cursed one, into the everlasting fire, which has been prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. Hell is not the place that Satan rules, but it's a place that Satan will also find himself for eternity. Why did I want to bring this out? Because there is no one that will escape condemnation of an eternity in hell caused by sin and rejection of salvation that we gain through Messiah Yeshua. And as we've seen, that place is not one of comfort by a long shot. In fact, we gain a bit more information about it in Revelation 14, starting in verse 9. "And another angel, a third one, followed them, saying in a loud voice, 'If anyone worships the beast and his image and receives the mark on his forehead or on his hand, he shall also drink the wine of God's fury, poured full strength into the cup of his wrath, and he shall be tormented with fire and the brimstone before the holy angels and before the Lamb. The smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. Those who worship beast and its image, and those who receive the mark of his name have no rest day and night. This place called hell is forever, and there's no rest day or night. There's no time limits on it, and you don't, you don't get to say, well, my time up is done in here. I've paid the price. It's not like a jail sentence. I've paid my price. I've done my penance. I'm out of here. Doesn't work that way. The choice is yours to make, but it's a choice you make now for all eternity. We gain what we deserve. Not because of a vengeful God, but because of the choices that are made by you and me alone. And really, by only you alone. I can't make those choices for you. You can't make the choices for someone else. You can't work them into heaven. You can't pray them into heaven. They have to make the choice. You can pray they make the right choice. But your prayers on their own don't get them in. They have to do it. You can't drag them kicking and screaming. They have to do it. It's their choice. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says this. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't. It does. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Messiah, so that each one may receive what is due for the things he did while in the body, whether good or bad. Shaul, the Apostle Paul, tells us that the choices we make are what will dictate what will happen when we appear before the judgment seat at the end of time. That the things we did, the choices that we made, not just about what we do, but also about who or what we place our faith in, will determine our eternal faith, our eternal fate. The world wants to believe that Adonai casts them into hell. But the truth is, they are driving themselves to hell. For them, it's easier to blame a God, the God, for they're going to hell than to blame themselves. But Adonai is the one who wants to show them the road signs that will help them to avoid going to hell. He also wants to pay the toll for the ones on the road. People don't want to see the disturbing parts like this, especially when taking into consideration that it's the eternal part of their lives. But it is the part that needs to be shown. So we can say some viewers could find the following to be disturbing to see. But we do it out of love so that they can make the right choice. You can't make the right choice without all the information. I was an underwriter at a bank approving or disapproving loans. And there are a lot of times I had to send the package back and say, I don't see this information. How can I make a decision without all the information? Adonai doesn't withhold information. We ourselves fool ourselves into not seeing some of that information. The world wants to be blinders. I only see what's in front of me, and right now, all I see is this. They don't want to see past the horizon. They don't want to see what you're telling them on the right. They don't want to see what you're showing them on the left. They want to live in their little bubble. The problem is, the images that they need to see, they're not allowing into their bubble. We have to make the right choices. Now, perhaps this is the day that something penetrated your bubble. Perhaps something I said caused your bubble to pop. You know, that could be uncomfortable. That could be not a lot of fun. But that could be the most important thing that's ever happened to you. By allowing things into your bubble, it allows you to be changed. By allowing images of heaven and hell into your bubble, by allowing scripture to get into your bubble so that you'll know the truth, could change you, will change you. For some people, it will be an amazing change. For some people, drugs just fall away from them. No longer do they drink. No longer do they always want to fight. There's a comfort and a joy in their life. For some people, it's a small change, but just enough to get you into heaven. Because now that small change is, now I believe in Adonai. I was not a bad person before I accepted Yeshua as my Savior. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't drink excessively. I didn't do drugs. I can't say there are a lot of people that I hated. But I was changed because something got into my bubble. The truth got into my bubble and changed me. It was a small change, but it was an eternal change. Some, it's a huge change. It's still the same eternal change. So if you've seen this thing that got into your bubble, or perhaps you've seen something trying to get into your bubble, and you need to read scripture more often so that you'll find the full truth of what he's written to you, the scripture is written to you, then you need to get hold of a book of scripture. It's called the Bible by the world. You know, it's just the Bible. You need to read it to see what Adonai has to say to you and what Adonai wants to do in your life. And then, when you're ready, you need to speak with him. You need to speak to the Lord. You need to speak and know that he's going to hear you. And what do you need to say? You need to say, Father, I know I've been a sinner my life. And I know that your blood was shed to pay the price of my sin so that I wouldn't have to die eternally. And Father, I accept your son Yeshua as the Messiah, as my Messiah, cleansing me from my sin. Father, forgive me for my past sins. Help me to avoid future sins. And thank you for always being with me. That's the only thing you need to do today, is to thank him, praise him, and honor him by accepting his son as your personal Messiah. And he will make sure that you're on the right road, and he's going to pay your tolls and you don't go to hell. Father, we thank you that you have shown us your signs and paid our toll so each of us here today are not going to hell. We ask that you would show the signs and continue to pay the price as those who don't know you yet come and accept you. Accept the Messiah Yeshua, you, so that the Ruach would come and help them in their life. Father, we thank you that you're a loving God, and right up into the last breath, they can accept you. Accept your son. We thank you that even now, as long as we walk and run the good race as best we can, you will continue your cleansing power in our lives. Father, we just praise you and honor you. And everyone said, amen and amen.